Warning, The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
He's just old, that's all.
Old? But we don't look like that when we're old. He's so wrinkled, so... Oh, it's horrible.
That's because we age all at once. We stay 17 until we're 60 or so, and...
And then we die, and they burn our bodies and recover the phosphorus for the good of the world state, just as it should be.
We have learned to take a gram of soma whenever we feel out of sorts. Euphoric, narcotic, pleasantly hallucinant. It transports our minds into a beautiful sleep filled with wonderful images. It gives a soma holiday, thus preventing unnecessary impulses such as anger, jealousy, envy, anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And welcome to the Savage Nation, where all of those unnecessary impulses are allowed to live. We do not live in the world of Wolf Blitzer. We do not live in the world of Neil Cavuto. We do not live in the world of George Bush. We do not live in the world of the Democrats, nor the Republicrats, nor the government media complex. No, we live in the world where human beings still have emotions such as anger, jealousy, envy, anxiety, love, and pride. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Savage Nation. I played for you a radio version of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World. Astonishing to think that we have already arrived in that brave new world where they took a gram of soma whenever they felt out of sorts. Of course, the soma of today comes in many forms, predominantly the form taken by mayors in San Francisco, perhaps senators in San Francisco, perhaps congressmen in Oklahoma, perhaps even as high up into the executive office. Soma takes many different forms, predominantly the form of Prozac-like compounds, where whenever they feel out of sorts, the politicians, whenever they know what scoundrels and skunks they have become, whenever the people's voices start to actually transmit inside their brain cavity, they need to go to the place where there's a beautiful sleep filled with wonderful images, where they have a holiday from unnecessary impulses such as anger, jealousy, envy, anxiety. In other words, their conscience, which is why we heard yesterday the invented candidate Obama, and of course, the dark lady of politics, Hillary Clinton, telling us that they would go against federal law itself and erase the border fence that over 90% of legal citizens want in place in Mexico. That's the extent to which the political system has collapsed, that they would say they would fight federal law, go against the will of the people, and erase the border fence with Mexico, where tides upon tides of illegal human beings are swarming into America to basically take advantage of the fat of the land, where tons and tons and tons of illicit substances are trundling across the border to feed the ever-growing need amongst the restless citizenry for relief, relief, relief from the corruption, corruption and despair. Welcome, welcome, welcome to the Savage Nation, where open mic is open to you at 1-800-449-8255. Abraham Lincoln was fond of asking the rhetorical question, if you call a tail a leg, how many legs does a dog have? Five? No, calling a tail a leg, don't make it a leg. That's the opening to the best article on Kosovo by James George Jatras. The article is entitled Independent Kosovo, A Threat, Not a Country. And you must read the article. We've linked it up from WorldNet Daily on MichaelSavage.com. He says that that pretty much sums up the recent unilateral declaration of independence by Albanian Muslims in the Serbian province of Kosovo. He then goes on to say this, several countries disgracefully led by the United States have recognized Kosovo. Major media have hailed creation of the world's newest country, but calling Kosovo a country doesn't make it one. Now, we've been talking about this for 3 days. I've given you the history of Kosovo. I've given you the history of Serbia. But I have not yet shown you how bad it really, really is. At a special press briefing, outgoing Undersecretary of State Nicholas Burns, a despicable character for many years, an underhanded undertaker who has tried to savage America for years. This Nicholas Burns, who was often mentioned as a possible Secretary of State under a Democrat administration, was thrilled by this. Here is what he said. He said that a vastly majority Muslim state has been carved out of Serbia, a European Christian country. And here's what this despicable vermin said, Burns. Quote, "We think it is a very positive step that this Muslim state, Muslim majority state, has been created today. That is within our own State Department. And I'll tell you who's behind it. It's not Nicholas Burns. It is not Nicholas Burns at all. And don't think it's that school mom, Condoleezza Rice Aroni. She doesn't know what's going on. It's neither of them. It's the Council on Foreign Relations. And who is the Council on Foreign Relations? Figure it out. Who is the Council on Foreign Relations? Go to Wall Street. Who runs Wall Street? That's who the Council on Foreign Relations is. Why would Wall Street want a Muslim state in the heart of Europe? Why would the Bush administration be in favor of a pro-Islamic presence in the Balkans? Why would they want this? Why would they create the equivalent of a Palestinian state in the southern reaches of Europe? Why do you think they're doing this? When we look at the jihad terror plot to attack Fort Dix, New Jersey, where four of the six defendants were Albanian Muslims from the Kosovo region, where did they come in from? Three of them were illegal aliens. One was brought to the U.S. by Hillary Clinton as a refugee. Another example of the gratitude from the Albanian Muslim community. And who are these people? Who is the Kosovo Liberation Army? Why are they operating in the United States of America, he asks. He'll be on the show, and you can take it up with him, not me. He knows a lot more about it than I do. All I can tell you is that I'm ashamed today to be sitting here in the United States of America to see that the Gypsies, the Guarani, the Croats, and the Jews have been expelled from Kosovo along with the Serbian population. Two-thirds of the Serbians have already been driven out of Kosovo and have not been able to return safely to their homes, along with similar proportions of other groups. Two-thirds of the Jews, two-thirds of the Gypsies, two-thirds of the Croats, two-thirds of the Guarani. 150 churches and monasteries have been burnt to the ground, with crosses and icons of Christ attracting particular vandalistic rage. A testament to the secularism that we are being told the Kosovars are going to be bringing to the area. No, my friends, it's not a secular state that's being created. It is a radical Muslim state funded by Saudi money. This is a nightmare. Why George Bush would be doing this is incomprehensible, ladies and gentlemen. It is suicidal to be doing this. That's my opinion. But then again, it's open mic to Mike. The phone number is 1-800-449-8255. The most despicable person in the media, the most despicable, the lowest creature, the solenterate of the day, lower than anyone in the history of the American media, is the man who pretends to be a sheep, but is actually a sheep in sheep's clothing, but a very dangerous, rabid, mad dog sheep. His name is Wolf Blitzer. Today, Wolf Blitzer hit a new low, even for the man who pretends to be as low as they come. He was talking with a creature called Dana Bash on CNN about the fake campaign against John McCain by the vermin at the New York Times. They then ran a subtext which kept saying, ally of John McCain indicted in an alleged scheme to profit from a land deal. They then ran the report on a Representative Rick Renzi, Republican of Arizona, without once showing any linkage between Representative Rick Renzi, who was simply accused, and John McCain. But they continue to say there's a connection between Rick Renzi and John McCain without making that linkage. I never in my life would believe I could be living in a time that the yellow journalism from 1895 would be functional in the United States of America in the guise of the vermin in the mainstream media today. 1-800-449-8255. Let's begin in Denver, Colorado. It's open mic to Mike. Any topic is fair game. Chris in Denver, go ahead, please.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I wanted to update you on the leprechaun stealing your idea, calling Obama the invisible man. It was on his talking points of his show.
Well, look, he has to do the best he can when you begin an entertainment tonight. and then you pose as a borders language culture type, you know, you've got to get your ideas wherever you can get them. I'm glad that he's done so, frankly. At least he has the wisdom to borrow from the proper source. So you have to give him credit for that. At least he knows who to listen to.
I wanted to talk about, I was going to write you in as a president.
You know what's so beautiful about the media, talk radio in particular, as long as we still have the freedom of this medium? The listeners to talk radio are fanatics for the truth. And they're fanatic listeners of all media. They read so many different sources of news, mainly on the internet, I would suppose. And they actually hear who takes what from whom and who says what first. That's the beauty of talk radio, Chris. So what actually is on your mind?
I wanted to say I was going to write you in as a presidential candidate, and I'm actually going to vote for Obama now.
Now, that's quite a conundrum. Why would you do that?
Well, I question John McCain's intelligence level, and I think the problems that our country has right now, we can't afford to have two unintelligent presidents in a row.
Now you're pulling my leg, because you and I both know that Obama is basically the son of a hippie mother from the 60s who brought him up with sort of an anti-establishment hippie mentality. All of his rhetoric is that of a combination of McGovern and the other whack job leftists of his time. You know that, and I know that. What is he going to try to do but turn this into a socialist state with higher taxes and more health care and Looney Tunes worship of the sun and, you know, global warming? What is he actually going to do in your mind? What could he achieve?
I give him credit for having the insight to vote against the war. And, you know, the war.
All right, so you're a setup caller from Obama. You're getting cleverer at it now, which is that you compliment me by attacking my enemy and then you soften me up and then you feed me Obama propaganda. But it isn't going to work, Chris. The fact of the matter is Obama is the son of a hippie mother. Just look at his history. Now, there's nothing wrong with having been a hippie mother, but when her ideas are still functional in her son, and her son, although has found a way to package these hippie ideas in a palatable manner for millions of weak-minded Americans, they're still hippie ideas, Chris. Thanks for the call. You know, if I were young and I were poor and I were foolish and I was smoking marijuana, I would be attracted to Obama. But I am not young and I am not poor and I am not foolish and I don't smoke marijuana. I'll be right back.
Savage.
I'm the Irishman in the shanty, the Jew in the pickle store, the Italian in the grocery store. I'm the black in the barbershop, the wasp in the wheat field. That's why the government media complex shuns me. I am you and you are me and we are America. I'm Michael Savage.
America.
I'm the Irishman in the shanty, the Jew in the pickle store, the Italian in the grocery store. I'm the black in the barbershop, the wasp in the wheat field. That's why the government media complex shuns me. I am you and you are me and we are America. I'm Michael Savage. Yeah, I think that's pretty good. I thought about that today on my bicycle. I like the way it sounds. But that explains it, doesn't it? That kind of explains it all. When you have the jackals in the media celebrating false debates of the kind we saw last night, when you have jackals in the media who will not, there's no bottom to how low they will go when you see that man in glasses, Wolf Blitzer, who, if I had the power, would try him for crimes against humanity, what this man has done. But you know what? The Republicans are getting what they deserve. They still use this fool as a man to take their topics to and their interviews to and their debates. You know what? They're getting what they deserve. He's a snake. He stabs them in the back every time, and they keep walking back for more. I continue to watch the Republicans melt down in front of my eyes because of the morons who advise them. I've never seen anything like it. Now, what will happen in Kosovo is the question. As the guest is going to tell you, with the stroke of a pen, President Bush, by listening to the dummies and the ghouls in the State Department's bad advice to recognize a supposedly independent Kosovo, may have triggered the perfect international storm. shattering the principle of the territorial integrity of sovereign nations, encouraging violent separatists worldwide, provoking a needless confrontation with Russia and other countries, boosting the jihad terrorist and organized crime threat to Europe and America, and creating conditions for human rights and religious freedom nightmare. In terms of far-reaching consequences, it may be the worst blunder of Bush's presidency, which is saying a lot. Los Angeles, Pete, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation.
Hi, Mike. Long time no talk. I used to listen to you when...
All right, Pete. What's on your mind? Go ahead.
My grandparents are from Yugoslavia, were Croatian, and my dad used to tell me about this with Serbians and Croats back then, that during Hitler's occupation, the Croatians sided with Hitler in order to get rid of the Serbians. And what they did in Kosovo, they basically went through a genocide, repopulated them with the Albanians who were Muslim because they were sympathetic to Hitler.
Correct. Well, the Mufti was sympathetic to Hitler. The Arabs have long been sympathetic. Now the Arab Muslims have long been sympathetic to fascism. We know that. And the reason we are at war with Islamofascism is because it is one and the same with Hitler's fascism, only it's wrapped in a religious garb this time. But make no mistake about it, the Islamofascists are Hitler, only instead of wearing the swastika, they're wearing quite a different uniform these days. Some of them even work for the TSA. Thanks for the call. Go tell that to Nicholas Burns in the State Department. Franco, Los Angeles, 8:30 on the dial. Your opinion counts on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Franco, go ahead. You're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please. Dead in the water. Okay, the ship's dead in the water. Eric disagrees. Houston, Texas. Eric, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Thanks for taking my call, Michael. I like your show. I'm your regular listener. My point is, you have a lack of knowledge about the Balkans, and I'm very sorry for your lack of knowledge, but you are pro-Serbian, you are pro-Hitler, and I'm sorry to tell you this, but if you look...
Whoa. How can I be pro-Serbian and pro-Hitler when they fought Hitler and your people were wearing Hitler's uniform? I think your wires are crossed.
No, I'm sorry, I disagree with you 100%.
Well, it's not a matter of whether you disagree. History is not something you agree or disagree with. The SS division in Albania, what are you going to deny that?
I'm going to deny what you said, but I will prove it to you. And there are three nations of the face of the earth. They were victorious.
All right, have a nice day. Go call NPR. Tell it to Wolf Blitzer.
Savage.
I'm the Irishman in the shanty, the Jew in the pickle store, the Italian in the grocery store. I'm the black in the barbershop, the wasp in the wheat field. That's why the government media complex shuns me. I am you and you are me and we are America. I'm Michael Savage. America! I'm the Irishman in the shanty.
Right, they got it.
Welcome to the Savage Nation. Of course, if it was a stage presence that I had instead of a radio presence, I would use more colorful language than the language I used in there. I would use the actual slurs upon each race and religion because it would get your attention. And the fact of the matter is, behind closed doors, these slurs are still used, and the ethnic divisions are still being exploited, as you can witness by the thesis of Michelle Obama, by the rhetoric of the very, very, very slick and smooth Barack Hussein Obama, who, as I say to you, has basically repackaged the Marxist light rhetoric of the 1960s beyond McGovern into a sort of palatable, acceptable form for those who don't even listen to what he's saying. And we live in an age where it's style over substance, and they don't even want to hear what the man is saying. What he's saying is 60s hippie stuff. This is the same hippie 60 rhetoric I've listened to for 50 years now. There's nothing different. And you do have to understand that this man comes from a background that is somewhat anti-establishment, and that may be appealing to you. It's not appealing to me. It's not that I am wed to the establishment. It's just that I'm wed to America. And I'm wed to America, which happens to be run by the establishment. And although I have disagreements with the establishment, I'll take my chances with people I have a disagreement with who are still, let's say, running a fairly good enterprise, instead of turning it over to the son of a hippie mother. and taking a gamble that he'll do the right thing. I'm sorry, I'm just not going to do it. And that's where I stand. Now, as far as the other side of the aisle goes with McCain, I've said 20 times that I've said it once. I'm not a McCain hater, unlike some in the media who've painted themselves into a corner, and I don't know how they're going to get out of it. With McCain, we'll get 65% of what we want. With Obama, we're liable to get minus 65% of what we want. With Hillary, we'll get 10% of what we want. And that's because she's an establishment candidate. We pretty much know where she's going to stand. She'll wreck the borders. She'll destroy the border fence. She'll make language meaningless. It'll become a polyglot, balkanized America, which is what the international community envisions for us. They want this country to become balkanized, and they want to do so by turning race against race, religion against religion, and make no mistake about it. That's the plan of the International New World Order, which is to break the hegemony of the United States of America by having one group attack another and keep it on a low boil. That way they can get away with what they've been getting away with for decades, only they can continue to do it in spades. That's the way I see it, and I think millions of you see it the same way. And that's exactly what the problem here with Kosovo. Genocide has been committed in Kosovo. This will provoke an attack, further attacks upon the Serbs, the Jews, the Gypsies, and other minority groups in Kosovo who have been there for ages. And how the State Department can glorify the establishment of an Islamist state in Kosovo is incomprehensible to me. I do not understand how you people don't understand the danger that this poses. What Washington is trying to inflict upon the poor Serbs today could be the fate of the American Southwest tomorrow. I said that to you yesterday. If you start to encourage separatist movements, you have no idea where this is liable to end. And Israel? Israel doesn't know what to do. Israel, of course, is a puppet of Washington. We know that. But you can't say that. You're supposed to go, ooh, what he said. Israel's a puppet of the United States State Department, which is why it's in disrepair right now. It is no longer an independent nation, if it ever was one. It is still right now, excuse me, more so now a puppet of the State Department than ever before. So you got Israel standing there, and they're afraid to know what they're afraid because they don't know what to do. They're afraid of angering Washington. And if they support the Kosovo precedent, the next day there could be a proclamation of a Palestinian state right within their own borders. And then what are they going to do next? Who are they going to turn to? Condoleezza Rice? It's unbelievable to me. It's incomprehensible that you people would allow this to go on without any anger. Don't you understand what's going on here? Christian Serbs in Kosovo are now being targeted for the worst. They're now being targeted for worse than they've already experienced. And they've experienced a pretty bad, something that you can never comprehend. And if you think that the new Kosovo is going to be a peace-loving member of the new NATO alliance, you're out of your mind. Because radical Islamist influence is already seen in Kosovo. And if allowed to consolidate, an independent Kosovo would become a way station toward an anti-American, anti-Israel, anti-Christian Arabia. Why is it that so many intelligent people understand this, but George Bush doesn't understand this? Don't you get it? Portland, Maine. Let's go to the callers or Cincinnati. I don't care. Any topic. We can go past this. We go in any other topic you want here. You want to talk about Obama's hippie mother? Or is that an ooh, what he said? Obama had a hippie 60 mother. And she influenced the young man to become what he is today. And if you want the hippie ideals of the 60s to further infest America, well, he's the perfect man to do it. And if you think that the Clinton years were morally ambiguous, you are right. But here's the twist, and here's the danger. The thing that kept Clinton under control was that he was, frankly, a little wayward. Because he was wayward, he was other-directed, and that kept him from being the ideologue that Obama actually is. I am certain that Obama is not morally wayward, and that's what worries me about him. A man who is too straight and too narrow worries me greatly. After all, Hitler was a vegetarian. Hitler was a vegetarian and a teetotaler, and look what he did for the German people. 1-800-449-8255 phone number. WOR, Carol, you're on the Savage Nation topic, please.
Michael, pleasure to talk to you. Look, I am a passionately pro-life, compassionate conservative who is absolutely riveted in a post-9/11 world. I'm supporting McCain very strongly because I don't understand how we can expect to get anything done if we're blown to smithereens and national security is not put first. I really don't get it.
All right, I understand that, and I don't disagree with you. I'm pretty sure McCain is a former U.S. Navy pilot. Would certainly comprehend the threat better than, let's say, Barack Obama, the son of a hippie mother, or Hillary Clinton. I mean, I'm pretty sure that we can count on McCain in such a situation as we can count on any Marine. That's my opinion. Thanks for the call. He was a U.S. Navy fighter pilot. I know that. He wasn't a U.S. Marine pilot, was he? Does anyone know, was McCain a Marine fighter pilot or was he a U.S. Navy? Is there a difference? I don't really know. Honestly, don't know. All I know is that I worship these guys. I don't know how anyone could do it. I don't know how they could be so dedicated and fly a jet off an aircraft carrier. All you got to do is go on one and watch it being done to understand how complicated it is. It takes the skill of an aeronautical engineer, the guts of a lion hunter, the brains of a computer engineer, the dexterity of a ballet dancer, and a few other things that I can't even comprehend. And they're amazing people. They're just amazing people. Why we don't use our jets, I don't understand. I mean, we just use them in Blue Angels performances. What would you like to talk about? Let's move past Kosovo. We're going to have a guest on with it. I already told you what I think about it. You know, it's just heartbreaking to see this kind of activity going on, and I'd rather move on. Let's go to the lowest of the low, the skunk of the skunks, the gutter rat of gutter rats, Wolf Blitzer. Now, here is CNN's Wolf Blitzer talking with a creature called Dana Bash, trying to smear John McCain for day number 2 and 3. Listen to clip 32.
Dana, he was very emphatic once again today about how he wants to proceed.
He sure is. You know, Wolf, one of the golden rules of political damage control is to show you're not afraid to answer questions about a controversy, but then you move on. Today, John McCain is doing his best to follow that rule.
Dana, there's a Newsweek story that just moved out on the web just a little while ago from their investigative reporter, Michael Isikoff.
Michael Isikoff is, if you think Wolf Blitzer is low, Isikoff is several degrees lower than him. In other words, if Wolf Blitzer was a Solenterate, he'd be the next order down in the next phylum below a Solenterate would be Michael Isikoff, to give you some idea. So it's a gutter rat reaching to the sewer to pull out some slime that was attached to medical waste in the form of Michael Isikoff. And now this creature from the Black Lagoon comes up with another non-scandal about John McCain. And there's no end to it. Just no end to it. So go to clip 2 and you'll see what I'm talking about, why most of you don't understand what I'm talking about.
Congressman Rick Renzi of Arizona.
No. I said clip 2. Go to clip 2.
We have learned to take a gram of Soma whenever we feel out of sorts. Euphoric, narcotic, pleasantly hallucinant. It transports our minds into a beautiful sleep filled with wonderful images. It gives a Soma holiday, thus preventing unnecessary impulses such as anger, jealousy, envy, anxiety.
Mm-hmm. And that, of course, is what the Solenterates in the government media complex are on. They're on Soma, and they think you don't know that they're lower than a Solenterate. North Carolina, Toby, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hey, yeah, Michael, I am so glad to hear somebody playing that, A Brave New World, to look at literature as more than just, you know, a work of fiction, but as like a warning, a political warning. I think it seems anymore that, you know, those that have read 1984 use it as a guidebook rather than a grim warning of a bleak future of totalitarianism that we're going to fall down if we keep on the socialist track.
Well, you're right. This is Huxley's Brave New World, not Orwell's 1984, but it's in the same genre. I read everything Huxley ever wrote. I was actually obsessed with Aldous Huxley. I wasn't a stalker, but I was obsessed with his writings. I had every book, every magazine article. I even read his articles on furniture that I found from magazines in England. Brave New World was absolutely my favorite, next to Chrome Yellow. Perhaps tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow. But I read every one of his books. I thought he was a great visionary. The literary establishment put him down because apparently he didn't promote enough ambiguity about sexuality between the same sexes to have satisfied the literary critics of the New York Times. Nevertheless, I was being, you know, who I am, impressed enough to have underlined and underlined and underlined virtually. It became a point, I was underlining so much in his books, there was just one long underline on every line. But eventually I went and visited his widow, his then widow, Laura Achara Huxley in Los Angeles, which is a whole story unto itself. I still think the man was one of the great visionaries of our time. So, I mean, that's what it is. Don't you think Prozac is the Soma of today?
Oh, it is. It so is. And anybody who doesn't want to take it, who wants to feel all these emotions, good or bad, is looked at as a savage.
That's right. That is exactly why they despise Michael Savage. That is why I'm the unspoken man in the media. That is why they say him, I wouldn't have him on my show. Why, he feels anger. He feels jealousy. He feels anxiety. He feels rage. He actually cares. He cares about America. Have you ever heard of any such a thing? The man actually cares about America. We cannot have such a man on this program. What we need are soft-spoken liars and brigands of the lowest order who pretend to be kind and loving people. That's what we need, is brigands on the show on a daily basis. Thanks for the call. I need some music. Play some Irish jig music, will you? You have that Irish jig? I love that Irish music today. I got already a migraine late in the... I don't know why it's hitting me so early on a Friday. That's what I want to hear. Oh, do I need this music. It's Friday. All I want to do is listen to music and drink a few beers and be left alone. What am I eating my heart out over Kosovo? What do I care? The president knows what he's doing. He's a good man. He's a smart man. He's a wise man. Everything he does is wise. Now play, give me the Italian grocery store music, separated. I love it. You have all the separate music. Soon the pickle music's coming up next. But keep up the Italian wedding music. I'd give $10,000 to go to an Italian wedding tonight that was like from The Godfather. I'd give $10,000 to be able to go into, and walk right into it. Now give me the pickle music, the klezmer pickle music. That's all. God. Oh, give me a break. Now, what's the next music we have in the can there? What was the fourth? My greatest... That's barbershop music. That's what they play in a barbershop today. I ain't getting my hair cut in that shop. I turn it off. It's a little beyond me that... My best is The Wasp in the Wheat Field. I thought that was a good one. Do wasps actually grow wheat anymore? I don't know what they do. Poor wasps. It was their country. Where are they today? Running it. Don't underestimate the wasps. They're running it. I mean, maybe Doris Duke is dead, but never mind. She's like a new figure in my head. I like that Doris Duke story. I'm starting to get infatuated with her. I paid no attention to her when I was younger. Just another rich broad inherited money, you know, blah, blah, blah. She inherited the tobacco fortune from her father, who cut out the mother because he knew the mother was no good, and the mother killed him, putting him in when he had pneumonia in the air without clothing, as she said later on. But there's a new movie I saw the other last weekend. Teddy and I enjoyed it very much on a Saturday. We watched it was called Doris and, like, I don't know, Arthur, about her and her Irish butler who was gay. She didn't know he was gay initially, and he's played by some actor I never saw, but he does a great job. And he gets into her head so much that she leaves her fortune, by and large, to him after she dies, you know. And then he dissipates it through his profligate lifestyle, and the trustees then throw him off, and he dies, you know, a few months later. Great story. And it wasn't that she was just rich that I liked her. And I know she was basically an inheritance case, never worked a day in her life. And you would think I wouldn't like that type of personality, but you're wrong. The reason I admired... at least the portrayal of Doris Duke in this particular biopic on HBO, and who knows how real it was, or Showtime, was that the woman, although she was an inheritance case and never worked a day in her life, the woman had exquisite taste. And even if it wasn't her taste, she knew who to hire who did have taste. You know, the art that she left in Hawaii, her Islamic art collection in Hawaii, her estate in Beverly Hills that was originally owned by the silent film star, whose name escapes me for the moment, the Spanish-style Beverly Hills home, the New York apartment. You got to admire somebody who knows how to furnish. That's all I can tell you. I'll be right back.
Savage.
What is it?
That woman. Oh, Bernard, no. Take me away. Take me away.
She's only nursing her baby, Lena. That's her child. She's the mother.
Bernard, how can you be so vulgar? I think I'll be sick.
Brave New World, how can you be so vulgar? A woman nursing her baby. Viviparous reproduction? Ooh. Well, we're almost there yet. We're not quite there yet. Give it a few more years, and perhaps Obama, that final push into atheism, and the loss of our national soul, and there we are, Brave New World. You know, a man is more than the sum of his parts, but it's very important to look at his parts and his influences to get some idea of who he is. We have certainly seen who Hillary is through 8 years in the White House. Some like her and some don't, to say the least. We know who McCain is. He's been around a very long time, and I think he's been raked over the coals often enough that we know who he is. But who is Obama? Who were his influences? Well, there's a great article that came out from the Chicago Tribune, which I had up on my website briefly. We're putting it back up. And it starts with the talk about Mama, the mama. And his mother's name was Stanley. Did you know that his mom's name was Stanley Ann Dunham? No, you didn't know that his mother had a man's name. Now, why she had a man's name, I guess, is because her parents, Obama's grandparents, had wanted a son. They say she was a strong-willed, unconventional woman. And I'm going to read you what someone who knew her said. She was not a standard-issue girl of her times. She wasn't part of the match sweater set crowd. What she was she touted herself as an atheist. And it was something she'd read about and could argue, said Maxine Box, who was Dunham's best friend in high school. She was always challenging, arguing, and comparing. She was already thinking about things that the rest of us hadn't. Well, that's all very good to be a thinker. But how did that mold Obama? How did this contrarian worldview mold Obama? And may I raise the issue of race? How does a white woman marrying a man from Kenya mold a young man, particularly a man from Kenya who leaves the family, and then she becomes a woman who marries a man from Indonesia?
Savage. Warning, the Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Take a gram of Soma whenever we feel out of sorts. Euphoric, narcotic, pleasantly hallucinant. It transports our minds into a beautiful sleep filled with wonderful images. It gives a Soma holiday, thus preventing unnecessary impulses such as anger, jealousy, envy, anxiety.
I'm the Irishman in the shanty, the Jew in the pickle store, the Italian in the grocery store. I'm the black in the barbershop, the wasp in the wheat field. That's why the government media complex shuns me. I am you and you are me and we are America. I'm Michael Savage. America. Let it all hang out, man. If it feels good, say it. Why not do it on the phone? Let it all hang out, man. If it feels good, say it. So what we're going to say today in this show on this hour is that we've talked about Kosovo. It's a gigantic nightmare that Bush is creating here. Whether they know what they're doing is very hard to determine. I'm not so sure they're that smart. I personally don't know whether they know what they're creating here, whether they actually comprehend the Frankenstein they're creating. I do know that we're going to talk about the candidates a little bit. We all know who Hillary is, for better or for worse. She's been around. She's a known quantity. And she's been raked over the coals. Some love her, some don't love her. Cattlegate, Watergate, this gate, that gate. I mean, we've heard it all. McCain has been around a long time. We know the good and the bad. We know the good, the bad, and the ugly. We know who he is. Who don't we know about? The invisible man, Barack Obama. The man that we don't know about because the media is afraid to ask questions about him for fear that they will be called racist. They're a bunch of craven, solenterate cowards. And that's why you are basically canceling subscriptions and not listening to them. But since I am the Irishman in the shanty and the Jew in the pickle store and the Italian in the deli and the black in the barbershop and the wasp in the wheat field, I'm going to tell it like it is. Who is Barack Obama? You got to go back to his mama. His mama's name was Stanley Ann Dunham. Now, how could she wind up with a name like Stanley Ann Dunham? How could that happen? Well, she was the only child of a father who wanted a boy so badly that he named her Stanley after himself. Now, let's start with that. A grandfather who wants a boy gets a girl and names him after himself and calls her Stanley. That's a pretty hard road to go down, I got to tell you that. So what parental traits of Mama Obama might have been infused into the child? Well, certainly a rejection of organized religion, a contrarian worldview, and somewhat of a nomadic life, and we must add tempestuousness of the mama named Stanley. Because in his best-selling book by Obama, he describes the story of his mother who died in 1995 of cancer. She's a white woman from the flatlands of Kansas and the only daughter of parents who grew up in the... Well, he tries to make her basically in this message that she's the log cabin story, that the mother hails from America's cornfields or wheat fields. But that actually goes over the reality of Stanley Dunham, his mother, because the formative years were not spent on the Great Plains, but more than 1,800 miles away in a small island in the Pacific Northwest. You see, Obama's mother moved very early on to an island off the coast of Washington, to Mercer Island, a five-mile-long stretch of Douglas firs and cedars just across from Seattle and Lake Washington. Her parents, Mama Obama's parents, were Stanley and Madeline Dunham. He was a boisterous itinerant furniture salesman in downtown Seattle. Mama worked for a bank, and they moved there in 1956 after 1 year in Seattle. And the reason they moved there was that there was a high school that had just opened on Mercer Island, and they thought it was an opportunity for Obama's sister, who was then 13. They've interviewed friends from Kansas and friends from Mercer Island and friends from Hawaii, and we get a slight picture of Obama's background when we look at it. The mother was, by all means, I don't know how to put it other than to say a hippie mother, for better or for worse. That's not to say that everyone who was a hippie was bad or everyone who was a hippie was good. But Obama had a hippie mother, and it's important that you know that. That is the appeal to the radical pot-smoking left in America, who is basically relating to him as though he's the second coming and the Messiah. They relate to this iconoclastic persona that they see up there repackaged in a very smooth form. The question is, do you want an iconoclast running America? What might that bring in a world that may not require iconoclastic behavior, but something quite different? And again, you have to look to Stanley Ann's behavior. And this is a topic that nobody wants to touch. They're afraid they'll be called racist. But since I know I'm not a racist, I'll touch the topic. You see, it's the white liberals who are racist at core who won't touch race because they know that people will find out who they are. But since I'm not a racist, I'll touch it. Because I'm going to lay it on the line. What influence do you suppose having a mother named Stanley, who would marry first a man from Kenya who immediately abandons the family and goes back to Kenya, and then soon thereafter marries a man from Indonesia, and she goes to Indonesia with him and sort of has a quasi, you know, Muslim lifestyle while in Indonesia. What effect might that have on a child? I don't know. I haven't any idea what effect it might have on a child. But the undercurrents in such a household and the counterculture mentality in such a household, I think, are very much worthy of discussion with regard to a man who would lead the United States of America through some of the most difficult white water this country has ever, ever traversed. You understand that? Now, if you'd like to know a little bit more about it, you can read it in the Chicago newspaper, The Tribune, which wrote a great story on it. And I've posted it now back up on michaelsavage.com. And there are interviews with people who knew the mother, Stanley. Again, that's a very important point. Barack Obama's mother was named Stanley. I mean, you know, think about that. What if your mother's name was George? How might that have influenced you? What if your mother's name was Harry? How might that have changed you in some way? I really don't know. So after the war, they work, and they work here and they work there. And then here's a man who knew them by the name of Gilkison. And they moved to Seattle in the 50s, which had no Microsoft, no Space Needle, no Starbucks. Of course, now it's an island, Mercer Island, is where corporate luminaries such as Microsoft co-founder Paul Allen lives there. It was a rural place then. And the island was quiet, politically conservative, and all white. That was then. This is now. And then at the Mercer High School, there were two teachers who were, you know, like not the average kind of teacher. And there was a man teacher named Wichterman who taught philosophy. And Wichterman had teachings that included philosophers such as Sartre and Kierkegaard. And he didn't stop there, we read. He also taught the young students the book, The Communist Manifesto. And, of course, the parents at that time went nuts. Of course, today they wouldn't go nuts because they themselves believe in the Communist Manifesto as long as it's not in their backyard. As long as the Communist Manifesto was not in their backyard, they certainly believe in it. And so the children of this teacher start questioning religion, politics, and parental authority, says John Hunt, a classmate. But we have to ask then what Stanley, the mother of Obama, thought about all of this, and you'll have to read a little bit. You'll have to read a little bit more about it, because if you read a little bit more about it, you will see that she was a skeptic. That Stanley embraced. Skepticism was embraced by Mama Obama, and she passed it on to one of her children. For Stanley Ann Obama's mother, the teachings of Foubert and Wichterman provided an intellectual stimulant, an affirmation that there was indeed a life beyond high school dances, football games, and all-night slumber party chatter. In other words, she was not a normal girl of her times. You say, that's great. I like the counterculture. Oh, do you? Is that what you want running America? We haven't had enough of what the counterculture has done to us? The 60s struggles over civil rights, women's rights, and anti-warism, you're saying hasn't already blossomed in this country to the extent that it's metastasized like a cancer? And you say those are all good things? These things are all good things? There's all good there? Well, Chip Wall, a friend, says, if you were concerned about something going wrong in the world, Stanley, that's Obama's mother, would know about it first. He described her as a fellow traveler. We were liberals before we knew what liberals were. Now you understand the foaming-at-the-mouth liberalism of the crowds that come out and faint and swoon. They say she was a little bit ahead of her time in an off-center way. Well, that's okay in a personality. Don't get me wrong. I'm not looking for a cookie-cutter person to be their friend. But is it okay in a president to be a little off-balance, to have had a mother named for a boy and to be off-balance? Not to me, it isn't. I'm a little concerned about that. I'm quite concerned about that. And I'm quite concerned about the life that Stanley Ann led afterwards. And about that same time that they moved from there and moved to Hawaii, Stanley Ann began classes at the University of Hawaii in 1960. And shortly after that, her friend received a letter saying that her friend had fallen in love with a grad student who was black from Kenya and named Obama. At about the same time, says the article, another letter crossed the Pacific, this one heading to Africa. It was from Barack Obama Sr. to his mother, Sarah Hussein Onyango Obama. And though the letter didn't go into great detail, it said he had met a young woman named Anne, not Stanley. There wasn't much on how they met or what their attraction was, but he announced their plans to wed. The Dunhams weren't happy. Stanley Ann's prospective father-in-law was unhappy. He was furious. He wrote the Dunhams, that's Obama's mother's folks, this long, nasty letter saying that he didn't approve of the marriage. Obama recounted his mother telling him in this book he didn't want the Obama blood sullied by a white woman. That's the grandfather. Did not want the Obama blood, the African blood, sullied by a white woman. Just thought I would let you know some of this. I think this is as important as anything. After all, for months, the Salenterites in the media feasted on Mr. Romney's Mormon background as though that was a crime. Well, now let us look a little bit further into Stanley Ann and Mr. Obama's parents, who did not want the Obama blood sullied by a white woman. We'll go on when I return reading from this wonderful article here on the Savage Nation, just for some food for radio thought. I'll be right back. Savage.
It is absolutely critical that we tone down the rhetoric when it comes to the immigration debate, because there has been an undertone that has been ugly. Oftentimes, it has been directed at the Hispanic community. We have seen hate crimes skyrocket in the wake of the immigration debate as it's been conducted in Washington, and that is unacceptable.
Jalisco, Jalisco, Jalisco. Tu tenes tu novia, me Guadalajara.
See, that's Ted Kennedy listening to Barack Obama, toning down the rhetoric and singing in Spanish again while campaigning for Barack Obama. He toned down the rhetoric. So far as I learned in American history and in politics 101, there's still a First Amendment, and nowhere does it say you have to tone down the rhetoric. In fact, the last I checked, it's fascist dictatorships that tell people to shut their mouth and go away. So, again, we have a newly packaged liberal fascist in the form of Barack Obama who doesn't like the rhetoric. And he's lying when he says there have been hate crimes against the immigrants, because the reverse is true. That is why one out of three prisoners are illegal immigrants who've committed hate crimes here. Murders, drunken driving rampages, homicides of various varieties, as I just mentioned, and rapes. That's why one out of three prisoners are illegal immigrants who've committed these crimes. You can call them a hate crime if you want, or you can call them just crimes if you'd like. But to start crying wolf about the poor immigrant being subjected to hate crime, as Barack, the propagandist, just said, is disgusting. And for the media to give this guy such leeway is sickening to me. The only reason he's getting away with this garbage is because he's multiracial, and the media has not yet figured out how to say anything about him without being called racist. But since I'm not a racist, I'll tell you exactly what I think about him. I'll leave the racists to figure out how to say something about him that's real, because they then have to disguise their racism. So let's go back to real racism. In his own book, Obama writes about his mother telling him that his grandfather sent a hate-filled letter saying he didn't want his mother to get married to a white woman. His father, the black man from Kenya, says he didn't want the Obama blood sullied by a white woman. You say, is that important? Ooh, that's horrible. I didn't say it. He wrote it in his own book. His own grandfather said that, not me. But she doesn't care, Stanley, the mother. She's in love with Barack Obama, and she's enraptured with the radicalism. They spend weekends listening to jazz, drinking beer, and debating politics and world affairs. And the father is a deeply opinionated man and extremely radical. They say the father had a voice so deep that he made James Earl Jones seem like a tenor. And while the father, Obama, was impatient and energized, the mother, Stanley, who some are calling the original feminist, was also very passionate. She was the only woman in her group. Again, I'm reading from an article written about Mr. Obama in the Chicago Tribune. And it's now up on michaelsavage.com. 6 months after they wed, another letter arrives in Kenya announcing the birth of Barack Hussein Obama, born August 4, 1961. And despite her husband's continued anger, Sarah Obama said in a recent interview she was so happy to have a grandchild in the United States. When the same news hit Mercer Island, it dumbfounded Stanley's classmates. Again, Stanley is Obama's mother. I just couldn't imagine her life changing so quickly, said a friend, thinking about her independent-minded friend who had disdained marriage and motherhood. Although he didn't say it at the time, another person privately feared the relationship would be short-lived. And that was because the father, Obama, was one of the most ambitious, self-focused men he had ever met. After the father, Obama, was accepted to study at Harvard, Stanley disappears from the University of Hawaii student gathering. She does not accompany her husband to Harvard. And that was the end of it. Gone. Gone with the wind. The marriage is over. Does that affect the candidate? Savage. You betcha.
Jalisco, tu tienes tu novia, me Guadalajara, muchacha bonita, la perla es más raja, en todo Jalisco es me Guadalajara. Ah, Jalisco, no te rajes, me sala del amor. Cantor, cantalor, abril todo el pecho, echar ese grito, que lindo es Jalisco.
It's really unbelievable what's happened to this man. I mean, I never liked his politics, but at least he had self-respect.
Laredo, will you help us out? Will you vote for Barack
Obama? I mean, I never liked his politics, to be honest with you. Even as a youngster, I knew something was wrong up there in the Boston area with it. But at least he had power, he had charisma, he had... He had the respect of people. But look what's happened. Is there a time for a musician to get off the stage, for a politician to be quietly ushered off the stage? This is unbelievable to me. But let us go back to the article, The Making of a Candidate, written in the Chicago Tribune, which, by the way, is the more liberal of the newspapers up there. And this is an article about the making of a candidate of Barack Obama. And so the mother's name is Stanley. And she marries a man from Kenya. He's accepted to study at Harvard. She does not accompany her husband to Harvard. And he goes off on his own. The marriage fails. Stanley Ann files for divorce in 1964. He marries 2 years later when her son was five. The senior Obama, that's the father, finishes his work at Harvard and goes to Kenya, where he thought he'd be a big man, taking a place in the Kenyan government. Years later, a congressman from Hawaii goes and looks him up, their old pal Obama, on a trip to Africa. At that point, we read, the senior Obama was a bitter man, according to the congressman, feeling that he had been denied due opportunities to influence the running of his country. Quote, he was drinking too much. His frustration was apparent. To the surprise of the congressman, the father Obama never asked about his ex-wife or son. So, look, these things happen. It doesn't mean that he's a bad person because he had a father like this or that he had a hippie mother. It doesn't mean he's a bad person. Sometimes people turn out better than their parents, and we know that, and sometimes worse. But since McCain has been raked over the coals for looking at a woman on an airplane 10 years ago, and we know everything there is to know about Hillary Clinton by now, I mean, don't you want to know a little bit more about the man who would be the leader of the free world and what conflicts he may have or may not have and how they might affect his policies? WOR New York, Mark, you're on the Savage Nation.
Well, Michael, I'm an educated, professional African-American who listens to your show regularly. I've actually called you in the past. And, you know, I'm glad you got to me after you made your final point. I accept your premise that we do need to know more about this candidate. I didn't like the fact that while I was listening, I kind of got where you were coming from, that you were trying to extrapolate, you know, something about this individual based on his parents. Because for me to get to where I am not the sum of what I was fortunate and very blessed to get to where I am because I am not the sum of what my parents were.
No, I know a guy who was a great DEA agent, his father was a crook. And he said, we don't choose our parents. You know what I'm saying? But nevertheless, I mean, the man's running for the presidency. These things have to be discussed. That's why the article was written.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
And no, and I'm serious about that. But look, you're 100% African American, correct?
That is correct, sir.
All right. I want to ask a question that I cannot answer of you. So what I'd like to know is this. If you have a father from Africa and a mother who's white, let's say, and she's iconoclastic and that way, does that create some kind of conflict in the child? What kind of conflicts could that create?
You know.
Let me ask the question another way. It's a stupid question. I'll ask it in a more intelligent manner. If you come from a mixed parentage like this, does it create racial tensions within the child? What are you, more white than black, more black than white? Can you be a blended personality? I don't understand that well, Mark.
Well, since I have a son that is of mixed parentage, his mother's white, there's an understanding. You know, this has to do with the parents in terms of helping the child to identify with both of their heritages. But, you know, to say that some kind of conflict could be driving them or sending them in wonder, I want to hear words from this man's mouth. I want to judge him based on what he has to say and what I get to learn about him. Because, you know, if you were to look at my parents and look at my background and, you know, start to have a conversation about who I am and what I'm trying to accomplish, I just don't. You can't put me in that box, Mike.
No, I understand. We are, at the end of the day, we're independent. We may be influenced to a certain extent, but sometimes we wind up the exact opposite of our parents, for good and for bad. Would you identify yourself as a liberal, Democrat, Republican, liberal, conservative? What are you?
Wow, it's a really – that you had to take me there. I'm a Christian, and I'll put it out there for you. If Obama were to lose the nomination, my wife and I have both said, both of us African-Americans, that we would probably vote for McCain.
So in other words, you don't like Hillary is what it comes down to.
It's got less to do with Hillary and more to do with, in order for Hillary to get the nomination, she's going to have to invoke parliamentary procedure.
Well, absolutely. It'll make Newark look like a barbecue.
You know, being a Christian, I can take a McCain for his right to life. I can respect him as a war hero and everything that he went through. And he doesn't even play that up. He really does not even play that up.
He ought to play it up. In fact, when I ran into him in Las Vegas, I said to him a couple of four months ago, I said, John, why don't you talk about your war record? And he said, Cindy, listen to what Michael said. At that time, you know, they talked to me because he was on the outs already. He wasn't going to get anywhere. But I told him to do that because that's the one strong card he has. Why hide the fact that you were a Navy pilot? Why hide that?
You know what it causes? If he hints at it, I was tied when it was in a debate. I was tied up at the time.
I don't know why he doesn't show a picture of himself in a pilot suit. Never mind as a prisoner playing the victim. Let him show himself proudly as a naval pilot. He did fly somewhat 69, 70 missions. That's pretty good. It's pretty good as far as I'm concerned. But look, let's go past that. I want to ask you something. Obama, you know, and I know his rhetoric is that of a 60s radical hippie. Only he presents it very well. Listen to what he's saying. He wants to break down the fence with Mexico. He wants to defund it. He says that they're subject to racism without referring to the crimes being committed by illegal aliens. He wants to tax anyone who makes more than $75,000 a year. This is socialism, my friend. Now, if I were poor and young and kind of not knowing which way to turn, I would also go for that rhetoric. But if I were middle class, I'd be afraid of it. I got to tell you, Mark.
You know, I agree with you, but you know what? The pendulum goes one way, it goes the other, and there somewhere in the middle is the truth. And unfortunately, or however you may want to look at it, depending upon what you're looking at, the pendulum is going to swing the other direction. This is not the Republican candidate that the Republicans want, and there's a reason for that.
Who? You mean McCain?
Oh, yeah. In any normal...
Oh, we know that. We know that. We know that he's a flawed human being and a flawed candidate who's not conservative enough for the base. We understand that. But I keep saying the same thing until it's eventually going to seep through the consciousness. With McCain, we'll get 65% conservatism, which is just about a D. That's certainly better than we're going to get from Obama, because we're going to get less than zero. I can tell you that right by what his rhetoric is. It's the tax the rich rhetoric and break the borders rhetoric. So there's no question in my mind, but I appreciate you listening to my entire sermon before you you know, rush to judgment. You obviously are a very fair-minded man who does listen to people. And thank you. 1-800-449-8255. What do you want me to do now? How about Willie Nelson? Let's see what he said. I got some sound here. Country Willie Nelson talking about marijuana laws. Let's hear 07.
And there's several states that's already where it's legalized for medicinal purposes. 12 states, I think, already. And so I think it's a matter of time. It's a matter of education. A matter of people finding out really.
All right,
what
Willie.
Willie,
you may be able to strum a guitar, but you're an idiot when it comes to medicine. You're a moron when it comes to health. Marijuana is more dangerous than tobacco. Every study proves it. Moreover, it produces outright psychotic episodes in more and more people today than it ever did. And for you to come across with this nonsense about marijuana laws is utterly unbelievable to me. So this is what you get from the left wing, the potheads. You know, never listen to an entertainer when it comes to politics. Tucson, Arizona. Joe, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Yeah, hello. I just wanted to say, you know, not everybody that smokes pot is a leftist, you know. That and some of us are very educated. And, you know, we work hard.
No, I can hear that. I can hear that. And you're quick on the draw, too.
Yeah.
Yep, maybe. Quick on the draw, partner. Thank you for the call. Play Fredo for us.
Send Fredo off to do this. Send Fredo off to do that. Let Fredo take care of some Mickey Mouse nightclub somewhere. I can handle things. I'm smart. Not like everybody says. Like dumb. I'm smart and I want respect.
Yeah, well, maybe. All right, let's leave that go. We don't have to generalize that. Well, the military had a big victory the other day, which is we shot down a rogue U.S. spy satellite. And the good news is that our defense secretary is going to share the information and data with our friends in China of exactly how we did it. Listen to clip 21, if you can believe
it. Mr. Secretary, what does the test yesterday tell you about the United States' missile defense capabilities? And what do you say to China, who they've asked for some data when the U.S. can provide it about the test?
Well, first of all, we provided a lot of information about the test before it took place. Our whole approach to this was one of complete transparency, prior notifications, and letting everybody know what was going on and the purpose of the activity. And we certainly are prepared to share with whatever appropriately we can.
Well, okay, he does have to share the fact that they're going to launch a missile from a cruiser in the middle of the Pacific because the Chinese can read that as an attack and, you know, launch a world war. We certainly understand that. So let's be rational about it. But why are we obligated to share anything with China when we know they're arming themselves to the teeth? They consider us their long-term enemy. What sense does this make? We get back zilch every time we open up our ships to them. They come and take click, 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 click pictures. Click, 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 smile, smile, go back to the PLA. And yet we send our men. You know what they wind up with? Bad Charmaine. They don't get access to anything there. I mean, when are we going to learn? It's a one-way street with those people. Las Vegas, Al, you're on the Savage Nation.
Hello?
Al, go ahead. You're on the radio with Michael. Go ahead.
Listen, Michael, Michael Savage, I've been listening to your program a long time. You estimate that you got 20 million viewers. I want my country back. Tell the Christians on your 20 million listeners to get off their butts and go to Washington. How come these people in Washington can't be kicked out of office? They're no good. When 50 years ago, I'm 91 years old and an honorable veteran. I want my country back.
Please. God, I hope I have your fire at 91, Al. What's your secret? You live in Las Vegas. Does it have anything to do with the air or the water there?
No, it's not. I'm a North Carolina-born man, Mr. Savage, and I would like to say this. It doesn't matter where you live. I'm a good Christian man. I live like a Christian.
Mm-hmm. And well, I believe you. I believe you. You believe in God, and that's your bedrock. It's the rock of ages. The Bible is the rock of ages for people who actually practice it and believe it.
Why did we have these caucuses? Caucus means nothing. We used to have a country that went on November an election and elected who
Thank
we
you.
Want.
Thank you. I've been sitting here watching other people run my country. I said, when do I vote? What am I, four-fifths a person? I see millions of people going out and voting, and no one asks me whether I want to vote. Well, I never saw an election like this. It's all rigged. You know that, Al. The system's been jury-rigged.
Why why can't we impeach these suckers that's doing wrong?
Well, I had an idea yesterday to build a fence after I heard Hillary and Barack say they would tear down the fence with Mexico, the fence that hardly exists. I said, why don't we build a fence around Congress and not let anything in or out for 90 days and see if we can have a better nation? I thought that was an interesting idea.
That is a very good idea. We ought to build a fence around about this guy Bush that's on there. His daddy was no good, and he's no good. He's going to ruin this country in 10 more months. If we don't,
well, you know, Al, you and I actually see the world in the same way. I said that whatever George Bush may have done wrongly in the last 7 years is child play compared to what's coming in the next few months. And what I see him doing with Kosovo is indicative to me that I am prophetic in what I said. This man has just begun to take the wrecking ball to the sovereignty of this country and to upset the world's balance to an extent that it may never recover. I've never seen anything like it. I don't understand how this is going on either.
I don't either, Savage, but I'll tell you one thing. With the Christian people, and this nation was born on Christian, we better get off our butts and do something about it, or they shot down this spy satellite up there. They should have fired the doggone missile at Iran and Iraq and got rid of them.
Ah, now you're talking. Why must we let Hitler speak every other day saying he's going to do this and do that and do this and do that? We have cruise missiles that could annihilate him and his mullahs. Without them even seeing it coming, they would disappear. And you know what? The Iranians would dance in the streets.
Why don't the American people?
Why? I'll take you back to a picture of George Bush Sr. being led around by King Fahd of Saudi Arabia by his pinky. Does that answer some of your questions?
Answers the whole question right there. We got the wrong man 8 years ago.
Well, no, go back. I'm sorry. It's an embarrassing picture. The father being led around by the pinky by the King of Saudi Arabia. What we have to do is develop alternative energy sources as fast as possible. We have to drill in Anwar. We have to drill off the coast of California. We have to disengage from Middle Eastern oil. Thanks for the call, Al. God bless you. I'll be back.
Savage.
On MichaelSavage.com, I put up this new thing on the bottom right of pictures I take around San Francisco. So we have a new one of a homeless person sitting on the stoop of a church with a stream of liquid running from his pant leg out onto the sidewalk drinking a beer. And I've just given it a headline, a caption, which is not up. And the caption is going to be San Francisco former SF Cron reporter at rest. 1-800-449-8255, hepatitis, scare hits party stars. Oh, that's shocking. Hepatitis amongst Hollywood movie stars? Impossible. Oscars. I told you yesterday I was going to have the lowest viewership on record, not because of the rain, but because of the garbage they're producing, because of the anti-American violence, because of the violence, the anti-Americanism, the anti-military, the perversion, the ambiguity of the sexuality, the unreality of the sexuality as projected by these sickos in Hollywood. Who wants to go to these movies? It's getting sicker by the day. And I'm no prude, trust me. I'm no prude, but I'll tell you the truth. There's only so much you can take. Every time you're in a movie now, it's a woman with another woman. Like, that's so exciting. What's so exciting? What's the big deal? What's the big deal, the L word? Well, what is so exciting about that to the average person? They can't get enough of this? You flip through the channels at night on the cable. Woman with woman with woman with woman. It's enough already, this puke and this nausea. What's a government supposed to do but protect us? What does that mean, a government supposed to protect us? From enemies foreign and enemies domestic. It also means protecting us from the filth merchants. It also means protecting us from the pot merchants. It also means protecting us from the filth that is emanating out of Hollywood. That's correct. That's what it means. Don't tell me, Mr. Obama, to tone it down, tone the rhetoric down. Why don't you tone your friends in Hollywood down who are supporting you? I know who gave them the biggest amount of money. I know personally. I heard it from people in Hollywood. I got the inside word. The first tonnage of money that came to Obama came from the gay mafia in Hollywood. That's where it came from. He's their man. That's not to say he's gay. He's their man. because God forbid this man should ever become president, he would, by executive order, pass the Homosexual Marriage Act of 2009 as his first bill. Make no mistake about it. There's big money at play here. Where does an unknown man get all of these tens of millions of dollars to the point that he's burying Hillary Clinton with the fundraising? Where do you think it's coming from? You think it's coming from the air? Don't be a moron. He's no outsider, my friend.
Savage.
Warning. The Michael Savage Show contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised.
And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation. Here is Michael Savage.
Savage Nation, we're talking about the Salenterates in the media who are trying to stir up hatred against John McCain when there's absolutely nothing to stir against the poor guy. And as I said to you on the show yesterday, all it was going to serve to do was increase his fundraising, which it has done. I told that yesterday to a reporter for Newsweek before it happened. And that is because one thing Americans like is the truth, and one thing Americans hate is unmitigated hatred like this and scummy yellow journalism. And the lowest of the low really is not the New York Times. It's this vermin, this Salenterate, this sewer creature, Wolf Blitzer, who today not only continued to heap the lies of the New York Times on John McCain, but then dug deeper into the sewer, down where the medical waste can be found, and dug up a creature by the name of Ishakov. This creature feeds on medical waste, Ishakov. And Ishakov, who eats and drinks medical waste, comes up with yet new allegations that are based upon false allegations, which again propped up by further allegations by other sewer creatures that he meets in the medical waste of the sewers of Washington and New York. And so that's one problem that we have. We have other problems, which is the growing Islamist jihadist threat in Europe. For example, we've long known that the Europeans have been jealous of America. This is a long story. Now, a civil court established with Saudi money, a so-called civil court established by so-called human rights organizations, has begun operations today in Belgium. And the first issue on the human rights on their platter is not the slaughter of Christian black women in Darfur. It is not the hacking to death of Africans by Africans. No, the first issue on the agenda is Israel's alleged war crimes. Now, you say, it's nothing but a bunch of, left-wing Jew haters. You can say that if you want, but you have to understand that the world is changing rapidly with the trillions of dollars that the corrupt, evil Saudi regime has been sucking in because they happen to be sitting on a pile of sand that sits on zillions of tons of oil. These corrupt, degenerate monarchs in Saudi Arabia have infected not only the American political machine, but they've infected the worldwide political machine to the extent that we are actually in danger of losing our sovereignty. Why do I say that? Because we've already lost our sovereignty to a great extent. When they can buy companies that sell sensitive defense material to the Pentagon and get it approved by their stooges and their collaborators in Washington and Wall Street, who fundamentally are one and the same. You know, there's always been a play between Wall Street and Washington. I understand that. They're not going to get a guy who runs a clothing store to become the Treasury Secretary. We understand that it takes somebody with a knowledge of big business. But there used to be a firewall that was established between businessmen who ran this country and the national interest. That firewall has long been broken down to the extent that we have a man named Henry Paulson, who is the Treasury Secretary, who was previously the CEO of Goldman Sachs. And the fact of the matter is, what's good for Goldman Sachs is not necessarily good for America. They're for any business deal that comes their way that they're involved in, they can factor a percentage off and put in their darn pockets and buy another Gulfstream jet for one of their offspring somewhere. That's not necessarily good for America. No, it's not good at all. When you start to sell off wholesale, and you start to break off wholesale the border with Mexico, you understand that you're losing your nation. And that's what the people are screaming about. And that's why Hillary Clinton and Obama are not going to be elected. Because if you look at even Democrat voters, and I live in a very Democrat state, the state of California, even Democrats in the state of California, by a margin of 75%, want illegal immigrants and the illegal immigration flood to stop. You understand what I just said to you? Even the Democrats want it to stop. So when Hillary, who's out of touch with reality, debates the invented invisible man Obama, who was out of touch with reality, espousing simply his mama's hippie dialogue that was put into his head when he was a child on a tricycle, you got to understand they're not going to be elected. The problem is the guy on the other side is like this almost like a relic. McCain is like a relic that they pulled out of nowhere. They destroyed Romney. Now they're keeping Huckabee in there in order to upset even McCain's chances. Huckabee has as much chance as my dog does of becoming president. Yet he doesn't withdraw. Why? Because if McCain was the clear nominee right now, the Republican Party have a great advantage over either Obama or Hillary immediately. So, again, Goldman Sachs doesn't want that. Goldman Sachs wants to be the determinant at the end of the road. Do you understand how this works? It has nothing to do with you, schmuck. It has to do with a few bankers on Wall Street. I'll be right back.
Savage.
Today, we have a controlled society, a happy society. We have stability. Ah, there was a time when these things did not exist.
Didn't people grow old and feeble in those days, sir?
Indeed they did. Old men in the bad old days used to renounce, retire, take to religion, spend their time reading, thinking. Now such is progress. At 60, we have the tastes and the powers of a 17-year-old. Why, the old men have no time, no leisure from pleasure. Not a moment to sit down and think. They're much too busy scampering from feely to feely, from girl to pneumatic girl. Fortunate boys, no pains have been spared to make your lives emotionally easy, to preserve you as far as possible from having emotions at all. Ford's in his flivver. All's well with the world.
Ford's in his flivver. All's well with the world.
Yes, all hail Obama. All hail Obama. All hail Obama. So that's a portion from the radio version of Aldous Huxley's Brave New World, where the nation was drugged. As you well know, our nation is probably drugged to a very, very high extent. I would suspect that the drugging of Congress is probably at a higher ratio than it is amongst the general population, given that we have so many scoundrels who are immune from their own conscience at this time and so committed to wrongdoing and doing us in. There's no question in my mind that they're using drugs to numb themselves of what they're actually doing to us. They certainly don't listen to you, the people. All they tell you is to tone down the rhetoric on immigration, for example. I say no, I'd rather remember what Gandhi said, which is that civil disobedience is the finest form of protest. And if they keep telling me to tone down the rhetoric, I'm going to say that we're going to bring 100,000 people to the border next time, not 5,000. And they can call you all vigilantes if they want. They can call you anything they want. It's still your country. It's not the country. It's not their country. And it's not the country of the illegals. They're visitors here and they're illegal visitors here. No, it's not time to tone down the rhetoric. The opposite is true. It's time to ramp up the rhetoric or you're going to be run over and run down and you'll be roadkill in your own country. Hartford, Connecticut. Kevin, you're on the Savage Nation.
Yes, I have a thing against you talking about hippies. I mean, you're against marijuana smoking, but yet the government illegalized Oxycontins, morphines, all these drugs that they did not know the side effects. And over the next couple of years, when marijuana has no side effects.
No, first of all, you don't know what you're talking about. Marijuana is a very dangerous drug with tremendous numbers of side effects. If you knew the chemistry, the biology, the medicine, you wouldn't be so quick to say such things. Marijuana smoke is more toxic than cigarette smoke. Aren't you aware of that?
What was that?
You heard me, and if you didn't hear me, then don't pretend that you did.
Okay.
What is it? Are you evidencing marijuana to the extent that you can't even hear what someone says to you?
Yeah, but you have so many problems against hippies and all these other people, but yet the government...
Kevin, I'm not your father, the father who left your mother for another man. This is a talk show that you've called into. I know you live in Connecticut where it's the norm for a man to run off with another man and abandon the boys to their mother. Marijuana is a deadly drug. It's perhaps even more deadly than the other drugs, Kevin, because it is presented as a benign, safe herb from Mother Earth. Don't you understand, though, that there are poisons that come from Mother Earth?
Yes, there is, but the government and all them make chemically enhanced drugs.
All right, well, please, let's not talk about OxyContin. I'm not suggesting you go take OxyContin. That's not what I'm telling you to do. I'm telling you to focus on the fact that marijuana has chemical byproducts that are more deadly than you may think. It's a medical fact. The problem is your newspapers won't produce these reports because most of them are potheads.
I understand that.
Why would you want to blur your thinking? Why would you want to deter your edge in a very competitive world? Let's start with the basics. Why would you deter your own advantage in a competitive society by clouding your thinking and your mind, Kevin?
I don't know.
Of course you don't know. I don't blame you. You grew up in a society where people said to you, it's cool, it's good, it's, you know, do it. The reason you're calling the show is because you're looking for answers, Kevin. You want to find out something you haven't heard from your friends or from people around you. But I'm going to tell you that the information is there. In fact, if you go on to Google, I'm sure you've done Google searches, right?
Yes.
Okay. Then I would say plug this in. There's nobody better at a Google search than me because I have a scientific background. Plug in marijuana harmful effects or plug in marijuana smoke toxins. See what comes up, Kevin. You won't be able to stop reading, and it's going to change your life. Thanks for calling the show. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. If I can save one kid from going down that horrendous road, then it will be a miracle, believe me. Then he wouldn't have to listen to clip one and think it's humorous to listen to this. Play clip one if you don't know what I'm talking about.
Jalisco. Tu tienes tu novia.
You believe this is a U.S. senator? Still in office? A sitting senator? I should say a drinking senator. All right. This is Kennedy after drinking not only the tequila but the worm, singing in Spanish again while campaigning for Barack Hussein Obama in the not in the barracks of Iraq but in the area of Laredo, Texas. My God, does the worm do that to people? I don't understand that. It's Friday. I got a migraine that won't quit, no matter what I try. So I don't know what you want to talk about. Let's see the stories here. What are the Clintons hiding? Ooh, you didn't hear that one. You didn't hear about it? You heard about the imaginary scandal about John McCain put forward by the boys from the Old York Times, along with the Solenterate from the gutter, from the sewer, Wolf Blitzer, the man who apparently eats medical waste at night. You don't know about Bill Clinton's ties to mining mogul Frank Giustra, the lucrative contract he won in Kazakhstan. You don't know about the $50 million that Clinton earned for himself. You don't know about the $20 million bonanza that Clinton earned. That didn't come up last night during the debates. Well, read the New York Post if you think I'm making it up. It's an editorial. It's all factual. I had a Newsweek reporter yesterday who asked me about the McCain thing, and I said, well, what about the mining scandal and Bill Clinton's ties to the mining mogul? She didn't know anything about it. Here is a woman who's educated, know nothing about the story. Can you believe this? The kind of people in the media? 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Wall Street, hedge funds, Wall Street, all aboard. When I was a kid and in high school, I learned that there had been a crash in 1929 that wiped out the middle class in America to a great extent, and that men who were rich jumped out of buildings on Wall Street because they were ruined overnight because of the Wall Street crash. Then I read that safety nets were put in place by the people who regulated the Wall Street crooks so that you could not buy on margin. Well, I didn't quite understand what that meant, but slowly but surely by the 10th grade, I did understand what that meant, which is that in order to buy stock, you had to put down a certain amount of money. I also learned that in order to prevent a a false market being created in the real estate world, meaning housing prices being run up out of control, people would have to put down at least 20% of the purchase price in order to show that they could make the payments if things went bad. And that would keep people out of the housing market who would normally not get in there, because you don't want people who can't afford a house to buy one, because the first time the economy gives a shudder, they're going to lose the house. Well, something happened between the time George Bush became president and like now, and that is all controls were destroyed, not only on Wall Street, but in the mortgage markets. It didn't begin with him for sure, began with the Clintons. But after 15 years of Clinton-Bush, we now have a housing meltdown and we have a potential bank meltdown. And it's all because all of the safety nets that were put in place by wiser generations of governmental folks have been erased by 15 years of Clinton-Bush. Las Vegas, Nevada, Dana, you're on the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Michael. I just wanted to let you know I'm a certified alcohol and drug intern here in Las Vegas. I actually just got off of work. I work with kids on a daily basis that have severe drug and alcohol problems. One of the biggest problems that I have is with marijuana and the fact that it's so normalized. It is like...
I know. They think it's an herb and it's natural and it's good and it's not as bad as alcohol, man. It's not like my dad is a drunk, man. I don't use pills, man. It's an herb. It's cool. Yeah, I'm sure you hear that, right, Dana?
It's unbelievable. I cannot. I mean, I run groups. I go to juvenile detention on pretty much a daily
basis. Well, you know, Dana, you need to create some simple charts and start locally. You might have a book out of it one day. Why don't you show a normal lung that's pink, a lung after 20 years of smoking cigarettes, and a lung that's lung after 20 years of smoking marijuana? And you will find, shockingly, that the lung is destroyed even more readily by marijuana smoke than it is by tobacco smoke. I'm sure you may not even be aware of it. I would guess that you haven't seen the pictures. They exist, though. Marijuana has byproducts that are more toxic than tobacco. The kids don't know that. They don't understand that smoke can be deadly, even if it's so-called good smoke. I mean, look, if I had the time, I'd write a booklet on this to save another generation from this. But do you know who was behind the drug legalization efforts in this country? Do you know who actually funded the initiative in Arizona and California, the initiatives to legalize so-called medical marijuana? Do you know who it is?
I guess it needed the ACLU or something to do with
George Soros, the most dangerous man in the world, the fugitive billionaire, the most dangerous man in the world, the most shadowy person in the universe, more deadly than a terrorist, in my opinion, for the damage he has done to the American political landscape. And the damage he has done to America's love for its own country. Perhaps the most dangerous man on the planet is George Soros. And why would he fund legalization efforts in Arizona and California? Because he wants a generation of potheads that he can manipulate, my friend.
Savage.
Jalisco, Jalisco, tu tienes tu novia, me Guadalajara, muchacha bonita, la perla es más.
Ted, please, somebody's got to tell him to stop this. See, doesn't this tell you why the Democrats like illegal aliens? They even find that singing reasonable. They even think that the singing by him is it's actually the sound of an Irish tenor. As I say, he probably ate the worm along with the... Didn't there someone tell him that you don't eat the worm with the liquor? Play that new thing we created. Go ahead. I'm the Irishman in the shanty. The Jew in the pickle store. The Italian in the grocery store. I'm the black in the barbershop. The wasp in the wheat field. That's why the government media complex shuns me. I am you and you are me and we are America. I'm Michael Savage. America. America. So we have a couple of segments left here on the Savage Nation. We can go to Savage's picture gallery. I was just laughing myself. I put the pictures up on my website. It's a hobby, you know. 20 years ago, I used to be an amateur photographer. Then I stopped. I got into other things and didn't have the time. I have great pictures I've yet to dig up from the Fiji years, Tonga, Samoa, the Marquesas, that are really amazing. I actually, looking back, some of them might be, you know, collectible when you think about where I was and when, apropos of the times and what's happened on the earth. But looking today at these pictures just wandering around San Francisco, and the light was so beautiful that day, the shadows particularly. So I have one of a bum, an alcoholic on the steps of a church with a line of liquid running out from his foot down the sidewalk. And my headline is Former SF Chronicle Reporter at Rest. Now, to the right, there's a statue on michaelsavage.com. It's actually a Benny Bufano statue of a seal, I think. But I think I'm going to caption it as follows, former liberal talk show host at rest. I think I'll make that. I think we've spotted him outside with his with his electronic bracelet. I think that's what that's that. That's an inside joke for people who can actually, you know, still laugh. What do you want me to talk about? McCain and Obama? Give me a break. I didn't go to college to talk about all these years of learning, slouching towards the sewer. I can't take it anymore. Every day it's getting worse. Did you ever think that you'd be spending your time listening to the son of a hippie mother like Obama and take him seriously? I mean, you know, if you take apart the man's rhetoric and take apart his good looks and his stature and his persona and his charm, he's a very charming man. Don't be fooled now. But if you actually listen to what the man says, it is hippie rhetoric of the 1960s. Now, if you think that we are a morally sound nation and we need more immorality to open us up and, you know, make us a more humane nation, as the boys of Hollywood apparently do, that's why they back him. I don't. I believe it's the 60s revolutionaries who have destroyed America, who've rendered this country weak, both to our enemies external, and have opened us up to the greedy men who have fundamentally weakened us to a great extent domestically. And I believe it's because of the morality of the 60s, which was an immorality, as it were, that we are where we are today. I think the opposite is true. I think only a cleaving and a return to religion can save this country. Now, I'm no holy roller. Don't get me wrong. People who know me know I'm not a holy roller. But they also know that I actually do read the Bible and that I actually believe what I read. And you have to take me on my word, because it's important that the man you're listening to has a completion to him. I believe that God exists, and I believe there's a hereafter, and I believe that we're either punished or rewarded for our life on earth. That's what I believe. I'm an educated man, a highly educated man. I'm a learned man, a highly learned man. And I'll challenge anybody in the media to tell me that I'm not. I'll compare my credentials and my background to any of them. And I'm in good company. Einstein, after all, was not an atheist, although the colleges have pictures of him with his wild gray hair, and they imply that Einstein was an atheistic kind of druggie. Einstein was a very, very spiritual man who, at the end of his years, said that the more he ponders the extremes or the extremities of the universe, the more he is sure that God created it all. Okay, that's Einstein for you. So don't tell me that science and religion can't coexist. We've had this discussion many times on this show before. And I'm telling you that God does not like what America has become. And I'm telling you that some of the reasons that we're having these problems we're having is because God is really angry at us. God is angry at a nation that was founded on bedrock Christian principles. Oh, I know we're going to hear about the atrocities against the Native Americans, which certainly were atrocities and certainly something to be ashamed of. But how about the greatness of this nation? When have you last heard anyone talk about the greatness of America? When have you last heard about the opportunities that exist in this country to such an extent that the entire world still wants to flood in here and still wants to come in here? Tell me about the last time you heard anyone talk about that. And so I say the bedrock principles that built this country are the principles upon which the country can move forward. No other principles will work. No, we don't need a hippie, the son of a hippie mother, running America into the ground, running us back into the 60s. We've seen what happened when we had a hippie president in the form of Bill Clinton. We saw what happened when a guy who said, let it all hang out. If it feels good, do it. Why not do it in the road, occupied the White House? The country was in shambles. The country was an emotional and moral wreck. And don't forget, you know, many of you liberals say Clinton lied, but no one died. No, you're wrong about that. The media won't let you know about the 2,000 to 5,000 innocent Serbs who were bombed by Bill Clinton, Wesley Clark, Madeleine Albright, they were killed by them. They were murdered by them. They were killed by them in an unlawful, immoral, illegal war against the Serbian people. I witnessed it in my own lifetime. So don't tell me that Clinton lied and no one died. And if you don't like this war, I can understand that. But don't be blind to the fact that your hero also conducted an illegal war, which you heard nothing about because Salentarites who feed on medical waste like Wolf Blitzer refuse to ever talk about that. Instead, they talk about non-issues such as McCain being attracted to a lobbyist 10 years ago on an airplane. 1-800-449-8255. I want to move on to anything else. Let us go to Akron. John, welcome to the Savage Nation. What's on your mind?
Hi, Mike. I think if you look at the long-term influences of Obama, I think he comes out as being both a Marxist, potentially. I'm not saying the guy is because he really doesn't say anything, but potentially a Marxist and a racist. And I base that on his mother, his wife, his church, and his mentors. He, looking at those main influences that we know about that have been exposed in the media, I can't point to any positive pro-American.
That's correct. 100% right. I agree with you. And the reason you're not hearing about it is because the sewer dwellers in the media continue to invent stuff about McCain instead of looking at Obama clearly, objectively, and really trying to see who the man is before rushing us into his arms. They instead focus on a genuine war hero like John McCain and try to invent garbage about it that has no bearing whatsoever.
Exactly true. If you take like people like Romney, they're talking about whether or not a Mormon can be president. When you look at
for months, the sewer sludge dwellers in the media made an issue of his Mormonism, which I was so angry about. Why do we never hear anything about Barack Obama's Muslim father from Indonesia, his adopted father, and his grandfather? Why do we not hear anything about that? Why is that not an issue? Why shouldn't we, since we're at war with radical Islam, get a reading from the man? What does he think of al-Qaeda? Has anyone asked him, is he at all sympathetic to the al-Qaeda philosophy? What does he think about the Wahhabi breed of Islam? What would he do about the penetration of America by Wahhabists? What would he do about those things? Why are they not asking him that? Answer, because they eat and drink and sleep in medical waste, the people in the media. John, I know this.
This church issues a magazine called The Trumpet, and it's 2000.
Well, hold on now. You're talking about the Christian church that Obama attends and the pastor who is a vicious anti-Semite. I know what you're referring to.
Correct. It has the 2007 Lifetime Achievement Trumpeter Award for Social Justice goes to Louis Farrakhan.
Mm-hmm. Now, what you're saying, that's very important. That's the preacher, that's the church and the preacher that Obama says he goes to. Shouldn't that worry him? Shouldn't that worry America?
Cornhuskers out in Iowa who are voting for him, you know, these college students, do they know this? And how would it affect their decision? Because no one's telling them this, obviously. He's just saying change.
John, what you have are Obamaniacs. They are worshiping the man as though he is the new Messiah. And that is because he's a very slick operator. He's a very, very controlled operator. And if you were to create the ideal multiracial candidate, you could not do better than Obama in this time in America. The problem for them is that the election is a long way from now. And the people themselves are going to start to demand to know more and more about Obama. And lucky for us, the Hillary camp is going to provide us with all of the information that we need to know. The fact is she's fighting for her political life. And she's got to unload opposition research on him that is factual and worrisome, or she's finished. And I don't think the Clintons are just going to give up and walk away, frankly.
Oh, she told.
Thanks for the call. I still have a migraine. Houston, Texas. Victor, welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hi, Dr. Savage. I just wanted to say, as much as you would hate me as being a pothead, you still are my favorite radio show. Since
I don't hate you. Why should I hate someone I don't know? How can I hate you? I don't know who you are. I'm trying to warn you about the dangers of marijuana. That's a little different than hating you.
Okay. Well, sir, I am the son of two Cuban immigrants, so you know what my history is, my background is, and how I feel towards
All right, that's good. But you can't speak fast enough because you've been slowed down by marijuana. It slows people down. That's why it's called dope, because it makes you one. 1-800-449-8255 is the phone number. Portland, Oregon, Clark, KXL Radio. You're on the air with Michael Savage. What's on your mind?
Yeah, I listen to you quite a bit, and you seem to have a problem with medical marijuana. Hello?
Is that your entire comment?
No. I just want to say I live in Portland, and I've lived here for 15 years. I lived here before it was medicinal, legalized, and I...
Sir, I don't know what you're saying. Are you saying you like marijuana? Is that what you're saying? You're here to support the use of marijuana?
Excuse me?
Come on, please stop playing chick games with me. You heard what I said.
I did not. That's why I'm asking you.
All right, have a nice day. See, the potheads can't even hold a conversation. They're a danger to themselves and everyone around them. It makes them stupid. They can't hear. They can't speak. They stutter. Just do a Google search. Marijuana medical effects. Okay? That would be one. That'll tell you how wonderful it is. Okay? Now do another one. Marijuana harmful effects. Then do another Google search. Marijuana toxic effects. And read, for God's sakes. What's the point of having this discussion? Arizona, Cliff, you're on the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Yeah, Mike, thank you for taking my call. First off, I'd like to say God bless you. I really appreciate all that you do and the information that you pass.
I'm like Atlas on the radio, carrying the world on my shoulders. It's driving me crazy. But what's on your mind?
Severe migraine today. It's just like...
I do. I really feel it again. I don't know. I think the weather changed. That's all.
Couple of weeks off, I'm sure. So thank you very much.
Oh, I could use it right now. You know, now I've promised myself I would take off after everyone went home over the holidays, and I really haven't taken a vacation. I'm starting to think it might not be such a bad idea. In fact, I was going to go up to Lake Tahoe this weekend because the snow is gorgeous, but there's a blizzard coming into the West Coast, which is very bad news for all of you guys on the East Coast, because you're going to get the blizzard again next week, incidentally. But we're going to get now hit with rain, blizzard in the Sierra Nevada, which means the East Coast is going to get hit again Wednesday, Thursday. But what's on your mind? You're calling from Arizona, the land of medical marijuana and illegal immigrants. What made you call today?
Correct. I just wanted to say that, you know, for the last few weeks, I've kind of been, down and out listening to all the news. But it was kind of nice to get, like, a sense of pride knowing that we actually have the SM-3 missile that took down our defense.
Absolutely made me happy. The best news of the month is that we actually could shoot down an incoming... And that means we can actually shoot down a Chinese missile. That's why they're going crazy over there. What they're saying really is, how dare you shoot down a satellite? We didn't know you had the technology. We thought we bought everything from you. We thought we were able to steal and buy everything. How in the world do you still have the ability to shoot down a missile, to shoot down a satellite? How dare you? We thought we owned you lock, stock, and barrel. That's why they're jumping up and down in Beijing.
110% right. They're probably...
Believe me, I know what's going on. They're shocked that we can still do this. They thought they owned it. They thought they owned us. They thought they controlled us. That they would tell us, you can't shoot it down, and the guys in Washington wouldn't do it. Well, apparently the Defense Department still has some fiber in their spine. Somebody in there knows what the threat is from these wonderful guys in Beijing.
Absolutely.
The kidney harvesters. The kidney harvesters, you know. How dare you shoot down a satellite without our permission? Moreover, we thought we bought the technology. Thank you for the call. Believe me, we know what's going on here. Not everyone's a moron here in this country. You haven't seen this country yet. Most of the liberals don't even know who the country is. They turn on the people like the little worm who has crawled out of the medical waste of the sewer, Wolf Blitzer, a man who apparently after the show dives down back into the sewers of Washington to eat and drink medical waste and to discuss things with the Isikoffs, who also dwell in the medical waste department of the sewer, and they think that what these cretins tell them and put on the screens are actually what America is. It's not true. That's not what America is. Go turn on a hunting and fishing show if you want to see what America is. Go to a rodeo if you want to see what America is. Go to a martial arts tournament if you want to see a cage fight in Las Vegas if you want to see what America is. Go to the quiet boxing and fighting clubs that are emerging all over America because the men have had it up to here and want to beat the heck out of somebody because they can't take the controlled world they're living in. And you're going to see an America that's emerging that's going to shock the world. I don't know when it's going to happen, but I'm telling you as I sit here, this country is boiling up from the inside out. It is boiling on the inside. And this country is going to boil over if this keeps up. It will boil over. It has nothing to do with me. I have nothing to do with it. I am telling you simply what is going on and what I see. The country is boiling like a cauldron. They cannot take any more of the illegal aliens. They can't take any more of the liars and the thieves in Washington. They can't take any more of the corrupt, totally sold out politicians. They cannot take any more of the Saudis dictating what we can and cannot worship. They cannot take any more of the Chinese buying our technology. They're about to boil over in this country. And mark my words, it's going to happen when you least expect it. You saw what happened in Serbia this week when the New World Order thought they can crap on the Serbs again and steal Kosovo from them and nothing would happen. They thought they could get away with it and nothing would happen. That's exactly what will happen here if this keeps up. I'll be right back. Now, what I'm about to direct you to look at is not for everybody, but it's an important that you see them. It's criminals with the heads of Serb victims in their hands. Picture one, it's on michaelsavage.com, is the photograph seized from Saudi Arabian fighters captured in a village in Bosnia. A Muslim soldier displaying the severed head of a Serb from the village of Jasenovo near Teslik, and the Serb's name is Blagoje Blagojevic. So these pictures were sent to us by people who have relatives who were victimized by sometimes Saudi fighters, others from the Kosovo Liberation Army, cutting off the heads of Serbs. These pictures were not ever shown by the medical waste feeders in the media, the Salentarites, as I call them, because they have a script, and their script is that America bad, world good. Serbs bad, Kosovo Albanians good. So I warn you about the graphic images on michaelsavage.com. We're going to move it up to the top left so that you can share them with friends over the weekend and get a better picture than the one you're getting from Nicholas Burns of the State Department, who is celebrating the emergence of the first Muslim state, Islamic state, excuse me, in all of Europe. Rob, W-O-R, welcome to the Savage Nation. Go ahead, please.
Thank you, Dr. Savage. Dr. Savage, recently I have an 8-month-old baby, and several months ago my wife and I purchased your book. I know you wrote it back in the early 80s, Healing Children Naturally, and I'd just like to call in and thank you very much for that book. It's a very clean, concise, sober, coherent way to raise
Absolutely. My child. I wrote it for myself when I was raising the babies, and I would recommend it to anybody. It's the best book ever written on A to Z natural approaches for natural complaints and diets. Thank you for that commentary.
Savage.